All right. Well, thank you for listening in today. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you. Today, we're going to be going back into study number 8, and I think this is the third lesson, if I'm not mistaken, on the letter H, and we have been studying about God the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the title of this lesson. In our past two lessons, we have so far studied who is the Holy Ghost and found out about his person in the Scriptures. And I remind you that we are indeed studying the Scriptures of the Word of God. We're studying the truth of what God has said concerning God the Holy Ghost. We're not assuming or presuming anything. We are taking God's word as it says and what it means by what it says, and comparing Scripture with Scripture. And this is the ABCs, and we're not getting real deep in there. You couldn't do that with my teaching anyway, but the Bible says the simplicity of Christ. And a lot of times it's good to return to the beginning where you were first in love with the Lord and you first started finding things out with the Lord. And we tend to, in this world today, the three gods in the United States are sex, money, and education. And it's starting to bleed over, has been bleeding over since the 1900s, when they started coming out with all these new Bibles and all this stuff, and has been bleeding over into education and pride of education. The Lord is the one that gave you that brain, and you need to remember that. And we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and make sure that we're giving him glory with any kind of knowledge or any kind of education that we have, and not trying to give ourselves glory or lift ourselves up. When a man thinketh he's something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. And we are indeed nothing in the Lord. It's by his grace that we have anything or are anything. And anything that we can do for him and give him glory, that's the right thing to do. And that's what we intend on doing in these lessons, is to give God glory by learning his word and giving him glory and magnifying him and his son and God the Holy Ghost. We talked about who is God the Holy Ghost in our beginning of this lesson. We also talked about what has the Holy Ghost done in times past. Then we went into what is the work of the Holy Ghost today. And we found out that the Spirit of Truth testifies of who? Do you remember? God the Holy Ghost testifies of somebody. Do you know who that is? Of course you do. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scripture says he does in John chapter 15 and verse 26. He also reproves the world of three different things that the Bible teaches us in John 16 verse 8 through 11. Do you remember what those were? Sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's right. Hey, you're doing pretty good. Thank you for studying God's Word. And the Lord thanks you for studying God's Word. What an honor it is to be in his Word and to have his Word. We looked at Titus chapter 3, verse 5, and John 3, 5 through 7, and John chapter 6, verse 63, that says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." The Bible says those that come unto him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When we worship God, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's where God the Holy Spirit comes in. After the Lord Jesus Christ ascended, God the Holy Spirit, he said he would send the Comforter, because if he didn't ascend and go back to the Father, then the Comforter wouldn't come. But if he did, then he would send him, and that he would come and dwell in us. And that's the ones that believe, and the ones that have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and believed on him. Then God the Holy Ghost has took up residence in every one of the believers. Every one of you that have believed on Jesus Christ, God the Holy Ghost has literally taken up residence in your body. Okay? And the Bible says that. the Bible says, so what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about what does the Holy Ghost do when we are saved, when we are saved. Okay, now, one thing is that if God the Holy Ghost is not dwelling in you, then you are not saved, according to the Scriptures, because the Scriptures promise that as soon as you believe on Jesus Christ, lots of things happen, and we're going to get into them, and a Christian ought to know what happens whenever he gets saved and believes on Jesus Christ. There is a whole lot of things that go on, and we talked about them back whenever we was doing the letter A, if you remember, the assurance of salvation. We talked about all those things that were going, that happened during salvation, or happened at salvation, like redemption and all those things, impartation and imputation and just all of those things that go on during salvation, and we talked about those there. But we're going to talk about and stay on focus of God the Holy Ghost and what He does when we are saved. All right, and we'll begin with Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 today for our scriptures. And I hope that you are reading and looking over these scriptures in your own time, when you have time, and that you're doing it on purpose, because that's the only way you're going to read God's Word and study it is on purpose, because the enemy's going to do all he can to try to take that book away from you. And the world's going to try to take the book away from you, and the ungodly are going to try to take that book away from you and discourage you in every way that they possibly can from being in God's Word, because they know that that book lives and that is indeed God's Word. And especially the devil, he knows that that's God's Word, and he don't want you reading it or studying it. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, the Bible says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit," capital S, "if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Now, don't get any plainer than that. The Bible says that when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have been born again. You are born again, and you are baptized into the... Now, I'm not talking about baptism of water. I'm talking about spiritual baptism. You are baptized into the body of Christ. And what does the Holy Ghost do when we are saved? Well, He comes to dwell in the believer. Listen to it again. The Bible says, "But ye are not in the flesh." You do reside in the flesh, but what is talking about is what you're walking in, your conversation, the manner of your life, and what's going on in your life now. It's not talking about actual residence. It says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit," talking about God the Holy Spirit dwelling in you now. "If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, in other words, the Spirit of God does not dwell in you, then he is none of his. It's very plain and very, very simple. You can read this verse and explain it to a child and ask him about that verse and ask him what has to happen in order for the Holy Ghost to dwell in you, and according to what that verse says, and they'll tell you, "Well, teacher, it means that you have to be saved, and God the Holy Ghost will dwell in you. And if you're not saved, then God the Holy Ghost doesn't dwell in you." And they know that. And it's very simple, isn't it? It says it very, very simply right there. But one thing that happens during salvation and when you are saved concerning God the Holy Ghost is that He comes and takes up residence in your body and dwells in you. So if you're saved, God the Holy Ghost is there residing in you and has taken up residence in your body. And you don't have to doubt that. Now in John chapter 14 and verse 23, the Bible says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Jesus said that with his own words. Now, It is in the person of God, the Holy Ghost. How does the Father and how does the Son come to make their abode in us if we love the Father and we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it's in the person of God, the Holy Ghost, that the Lord Jesus Christ lives within the heart of every believer. Did you get that? God the Father is Spirit. God the Son is God incarnate in the flesh at the right hand of the Father. And God the Holy Ghost is the Comforter, the third person of the Godhead that comes to dwell in the believer. Okay, now in 1 Corinthians, we're talking about what does the Holy Ghost do when we are saved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, the Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Well, it don't get any simpler than that, does it? So what does the Holy Ghost do when we are saved? Well, our body is called what? What of the Holy Ghost? It's called the temple of the Holy Ghost. As the temple of in the Old Testament, where the Lord dwelt among the Jews and dwelt and made his presence there, the Bible says in the New Testament that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Of the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost takes up residence and he makes his abode and he abides in us. The Bible says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, what? Asking a question, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? How's it getting simpler than that, brothers and sisters? Why don't you believe that? Because the Bible teaches that, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. The Holy Ghost has taken up residence in you, and you are bought with a price. Ye are not your own. You belong to the Lord now. Okay? And the Holy Ghost has taken up residence. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, this means that that our bodies are a dwelling place for God. That's where he dwells now. He dwells within us, in our bodies, if you are born again. Okay? All right, listen to this. In Ephesians chapter 1, talking about God the Holy Ghost, what does God the Holy Ghost do when we are saved? In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14, the Bible says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. What a wonderful, wonderful verse. And what a promise the Bible has given us all there that are born again. The Bible talk concerning the Holy Ghost says that every Christian is sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. In other words, when you seal something, it's sealed up tight, it's in there, and it cannot depart. It can't get out, and it's not going to leave. Talking about God the Holy Ghost has put it in a way in the scriptures of understanding it that we are sealed with the believer. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to abandon us or depart from us. We are sealed with him until the day of redemption. And the Bible also says that in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the scriptures, and the gospel of your salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you trusted in it. It says, in whom also, after that you believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Now, what is an earnest? Well, an earnest is like what they used to call in the old days when somebody would want to buy a piece of property from another person, and they would do a handshake on it. Well, a fellow says, well, I'd like this much money for this piece of property. And he says, well, I want to buy it from you. Let's make a deal. He says, okay, well, then here's what I'll do. I'll give you some earnest money until I get the rest of the money, and then I'll come and finish up the deal for you. The deal has already been made. The deal is already solidified. But what is happening here is that one person is giving another person a partial payment, showing that this deal is indeed legal and that it is in force and that nobody can, it's sealed. The deal is sealed. Okay, so he gives him part of the money until he comes back with the rest of the money. But the deal is sealed. The Bible says that our salvation, it says, which is the earnest, the Holy Ghost dwelling in us, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the down payment, the partial payment, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, which is the bride of Christ when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to get us. And then our salvation will be paid in full. It's already paid in full as far as Christ is concerned, but as far as getting everything the way that the Lord intends for it to be, as far as our salvation and getting the rest of our inheritance, it's on the way. But until then, we have been given a down payment, and that is God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us, which is the earnest of our inheritance. That's good stuff, ain't it? Praise the Lord. He's given us the, if you have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, and you do if you've been born again and have believed and trusted the gospel of your salvation, you have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you as a inheritance, you've been sealed with the Holy Ghost, and he is the earnest of your inheritance. You still have more coming, but the Lord wanted you to have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you as a down payment that you belong to him. Now, every Christian is sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21 and 22, it says, now ye which establisheth us with you in Christ, he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Let me read that again to you. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. So who did this? God did it. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. God the Holy Ghost is, we're sealed with God the Holy Ghost. And you're born again, you are not an exception to the rule, and God didn't leave you out. You have God the Holy Ghost sealed in you until the earnest of the Spirit, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. This is our guarantee of eternal security. It's proof that the deal is sealed, that Jesus Christ's blood has bought you and that you are bought. Earnest is like earnest money, a down payment for something that's going to be possessed later. Okay, so good stuff. I mean, here the Holy Ghost dwelling in you is evidence that you have been bought and you belong to God, and He's sealed in you, never to depart. He's going to be with you for eternity, the Bible says. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, the Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. What is the day of redemption? Well, for our case, the day of redemption is going to be at the rapture, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and gets us out of here. We're already redeemed and bought, but we have not we're not actually in possession of the Lord yet. We're still in the body down here, and in this vile body. And the Bible says that we shall be changed and fashioned like unto His glorious body. So the whole deal has not been completed yet. Our salvation is complete as far as your status. Your salvation is completed. You believed on the Lord, and it is a done deal. It is just not, your status is complete, but your state is that you are waiting for the Lord to come and finish up this thing for us. And He is. He's coming. The Bible says in John chapter 16, now we're talking about what does the Holy Ghost do when we are saved? Well, He comes to dwell in the believer. The Bible says that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost that dwells in us as a dwelling place for God. The Bible says that every Christian is sealed with God the Holy Ghost. That's what He seals us until the day of redemption. And then in John chapter 16, verse 7 and 13, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away." This is Jesus talking. "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." According to John chapter 16, what does the Holy Ghost do when we are saved? The Bible says that the Spirit of truth is our comforter, that He will comfort us. He will comfort us in the things of God while we are still in the body here, and He indeed does. And any of you Christians out there that are listening to this that know anything about the Lord and know anything about having fellowship with the Lord and communing with the Lord day by day, hour by hour, then you know that He is our comforter, and we do rely on Him and we need Him, don't we? We sure do. And He keeps His word with us, and He does comfort us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, the Lord Jesus said, and He does that in the person of God, the Holy Ghost, that is residing in us, that dwells in us. Now another one, in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, the Bible says this, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." Are you like that? Whenever we're praying, sometimes you just can't say, you can't make the words for what it is that your heart wants from the Lord. And we don't have any kind of words in human language that we can address the Lord. But the Bible says that God the Holy Ghost speaks God's language, and He takes our words from our heart and takes the meaning of our words. He not only knows what our heart says, but He knows what our heart means by what it says. And a lot of times that we can't pray to the Lord and say exactly what we want to pray, God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us knows our thoughts, and He takes that and transforms that into something that God the Father can understand and know. Listen to this verse. It says, "Likewise the Spirit," God the Holy Ghost, "also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." You see, God the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God that dwells in us, He knows our infirmities. And He knows that we don't know how to talk to God in the way that we ought to. And we don't know how to ask Him for the right things. And sometimes we don't know how to pray to Him like we ought to. But God the Holy Ghost makes intercession between us and our prayers and the Heavenly Father, and He intercedes for us, the Bible says, with groanings which cannot be uttered. We can't speak them. We cannot speak or utter the things that need to be said before the Father from God the Holy Ghost. So see, God the Holy Ghost is the one that intercedes in between us and the Father as far as our conversation and our prayers and us conversing with the Father. Isn't that wonderful? He even did that for us. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You see, sometimes we pray and we are sincere in our hearts, but we're asking for something that could not necessarily be the will of God. And sometimes our prayers are confused because we think we're asking for something that is right, but in reality we're asking for something that could not be the will of God. And the Holy Ghost intercedes for us with things that we can't come up with as far as speaking to the Lord in the way that we should speak to the Lord. So God the Holy Ghost will say something like, Lord, this is what he means is, and then he'll tell the Lord what it is that we mean. Listen to the verse again. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You see, the reason that our prayers get through is because God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us knows our hearts. He knows the meaning of our heart and what we're trying to say to the Lord, and he deciphers this thing and puts it in a language that God the Father can understand and can listen to, because he puts it before the throne in a way that is the will of God. You see? And that's another thing that the Holy Ghost does when we are saved, is the Holy Ghost makes intercession for us. He makes intercession for us. I'm glad he's there to pray for me, because sometimes I can mess up some prayers, can't you? And sometimes I have. And sometimes I've asked for some things. I'm glad that the Lord, that God the Holy Ghost was there and interceded for me, because I would have not wanted to say the things that I might have wanted to say to the Father. We have to be careful what we say to the Lord and talk to him according to his will. I remember there was a fellow that I knew one time, and he said something to me concerning addressing the Lord, and he looked up at God, and this was whenever he was, I used to work with troubled men, and he used to be a drug addict, and when he was going through this program that we had, that we would bring men in and teach them the Word of God and watch God the Holy Ghost straighten them up and change their thinking and change their hearts, and it was tremendous. But the one thing that he said, I remember saying to the Lord, come on down here, Lord, and I'll gouge your eyes out. Yeah, that's what he said. And when he said that, I shivered inside. It scared me. And I thought to myself, isn't it wonderful that God the Holy Ghost dwells in us and that he didn't take that to the throne? because that's not the will of God. I don't know what the process was between God the Holy Ghost listening to this. Was a saved man. I know him, and I know he's saved. But he said that to the Lord, and he said it to him in ignorance, and it was definitely not the will of God that he speak to him like that. So whatever transpired between God the Holy Ghost and the Father concerning what was said there, that's the secret of the Lord, I guess. But I'm glad that sometimes that when we pray, that God is even prepared, that God the Holy Ghost is in us, and that he even prepares us and teaches us how to talk to the Father, aren't you? And I don't want to say anything that's not right before the Lord, do you? And we shouldn't. We should not just kind of flippantly talk to our Heavenly Father like that, or should talk to God the Holy Ghost in that manner. He's God. He's God. And the Lord has went out of His way, and every person of the Godhead, God the Father has went out of His way, God the Son has went out of His way, and God the Holy Ghost goes out of His way to be patient with us and to be merciful with us and to be compassionate with us and not to have to deal with us according to our sins and according to what our sins deserve. The Lord wants to forgive. The Bible says He stands ready to forgive. And we should fear that. We should fear the Lord, because the Lord could have done, He could have went about this thing a whole different way if He wanted to, couldn't He? Remember in the Old Testament when He would tell Moses, and He said, "Step aside, Moses." He said, "I'm going to destroy every one of them, and I'll make a new nation out of you." And Moses interceded, and that's a good lesson as far as God the Holy Ghost is a good example. Moses interceded with the Lord for the people of Israel, and the Lord, Bible says the Lord repented. He changed His mind. Okay, but God the Holy Ghost stands in for us, and He intercedes for us. So what have we learned today? We've learned concerning God the Holy Ghost in our study of what the Scriptures say about Him, that He comes to dwell in the believer, according to Romans. The Bible says that it is in the person of the Holy Ghost that the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father live within the heart of every believer. The Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of Christ. Okay, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ's Spirit, God the Holy Ghost, that dwells in us. The Bible also says that we looked at in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" You know, we should be very careful about where we take these bodies and what we do with these bodies. The Bible says that we should take care of these bodies and present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the least that we can do for what God has done for us, is to treat these bodies in a way to where God the Holy Ghost can use them to give the Father glory and give the Lord Jesus Christ glory. Our bodies, a Christian's body, ought to be used for glorifying God, not for fornicating and doing ungodly things with, and taking God the Holy Ghost in places that our bodies should not be. The Bible says that we ought to use these bodies for holiness, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Okay? So we also talked about that the Spirit of Truth is our Comforter, and He is, isn't He? The Holy Ghost makes intercession for us also, and we're glad of that. So let me give you these scriptures, and we will go ahead and we'll stop there. The next thing that we're going to talk about on our next lesson concerning God the Holy Ghost is, what is the relationship between the Holy Ghost and me? Between the Holy Ghost and me. And we're also going to begin to go into gifts, and that the Holy Ghost has given every believer at least one gift. And it's a gift. It is indeed a gift from God, and something that you can do specially, spiritually, to give God the Father and give the Lord Jesus Christ glory, and something that you can use to give God glory. And we'll get into that. Okay? All right, so let me give you these scriptures. What does God the Holy Ghost do when we are saved? Romans chapter 8, verse 9. John chapter 14, verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. And we got Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. John chapter 16, verse 7 and 13. And Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. I want to remind you that as we're studying these studies, the things that we are studying are for believers. They're for believers. They're for people that have already been born again and are already children of God, already in the body of Christ, already born again. Now, if you're not born again, some of these things do not apply to you. God the Holy Ghost does not dwell in an unsaved person. And if you're not born again, you need to be born again. You need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and believe the gospel of what the Word of God says about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So I hope that you'll be saved today, and I hope that you will. And everybody that's listening to this that is born again already, they want you to be saved, and the Lord wants you to be saved. The Bible says the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And what is repentance? Repentance is changing your mind and changing your thinking about what you thought before. In other words, I think that I'm going to get to heaven if I do good, and I think that I'm going to get to heaven if I don't do this or if I do this, and you're trusting in your works, then you change your mind and you understand that the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the only way. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And you believe on Jesus Christ and what the Bible said he did. He died for you, he was buried for you, and he resurrected for you so that you could have eternal life. And he, an innocent man, God in the flesh, came down to this earth, took on a body, was born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half years on this earth, and then went to the cross of Calvary and shed his blood on purpose so that you could believe on him and have eternal life. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So would you call on his name today by faith? And the Bible says that if you will do that, then he'll save you and give you eternal life. And God the Holy Ghost will come and dwell in you, just like he did all the rest of us. And I'm glad to be saved. I've never regretted being born again. And I'm thankful that the Lord has saved me and that I'm in the body of Christ and that I'm on my way to heaven. And I can say that because of what Jesus done, not because I'm a good person and not because I'm somebody, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. And I hope that you'll do that today. And we will be praying for you, that you listening to these, that you'll continue to listen to them and understand what the Bible says about going to heaven, and that you'll join in with us. Thank you for listening today, and God bless all of you. You have the scriptures, and we'll talk again, and we will fellowship again and study more about God the Holy Ghost real soon. So until then, may the Lord be with you and bless you, and bye-bye.